this weekend as well as next weekend. We are inviting people to make that annual commitment to be part of our adoration chapel, and the beautiful reality that 24/7 there are people adoring the Lord in that chapel. And so it's a chance for those who have been doing that to renew that commitment. It's also, though, a chance for those who have not done that to kind of step forward and be counted among those there who are present adoring the Lord. Or maybe if you've never been in the Adoration Chapel, and it's at least a chance to remind you of the great gift that we have of our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament and His invitation for us to spend some time with Him. Adoration, Eucharistic adoration, is something that I definitely kind of grew up on in seminary. It's something our seminary does pretty much every day of the week. That's part of your formation, is doing typically a morning holy hour before our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. And it's a powerful thing that then is translated into my priesthood, our priest group, the Companions of Christ. We strive to do that daily as well, to have that, and to have that, just that time with the Lord, which is, it's such a good thing, and it's just something that I have really treasured and would want for all of you as well. Let me share a bit of my experience of why it has been so good to be in adoration. I think the first thing is that it is this encounter with the risen Lord, as St. Paul reminds us, our Lord who is alive, body, blood, soul, and divinity, present there in the Eucharist. It's a chance to encounter the Lord wherever I am at. The ups and downs of my life, the good, the bad, the ugly, to be able to come to the Lord who is there waiting and present with me. And it can be ugly sometimes. Thinking back to seminary adoration experiences, I remember one time in the seminarian house that I lived in, there was another seminarian, Brian Larkin, who's now Father Larkin at Our Lady of Lourdes. He's a morning person, and I definitely was not. And our holy hours are normally about 6 a.m., 6:15, something like that. And so I'm coming down the steps, kind of slow and not too shiny happy or anything like that. And he kind of decides to tease me a little bit. "Hey, good morning, man. How are you doing?" You know, and kind of poke me as I'm going by. And suddenly I just grabbed him and body slammed him to the ground sorry, Brian. And so now I'm going to go into the Adoration Chapel, and I guess I'll talk with Jesus about that for a little while. So the Lord is there, you know, to be with us, good, bad, and ugly. I think a second part of it is that when I go into adoration and there is the Lord and in the Eucharist before me, shown there, it's a chance for me to be drawn out of myself and back towards Jesus. To be, again, aware of, as it says in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And to have my focus be drawn back to Him. And I think that's important. Our gospel today, Jesus pronounces blessings for people who are in different hard situations, poor and weeping and hungry and persecuted. But nevertheless, there's blessing because the Lord is at work in that and is bringing about good things through that hardship. And so they're blessed because they're turning to the Lord in their need. Same thing in adoration. And then also Jesus, He pronounces woes upon those who maybe there are good things right now that they have allowed to make them distant from the Lord, complacent about the needs for others, and they need to get their focus back away from themselves and that self-satisfaction and back onto the Lord and what He calls us to. And so going into adoration, the physical cue of seeing Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament helps me to again focus upon Him. And then that attunes me to that reality of the presence of Jesus Christ. Yes, now again encountered in the Eucharist, in the Adoration Chapel, but how that's true really throughout my life, that the Lord is present there. And just as He is there in the Adoration Chapel in such a humble and benevolent way and so steadily there, so too is He really present in my life as well, humble and benevolent and just steadily there. that mystery of Christ's presence, that he is truly there, which we get a glimpse of in a special way in adoration, that's so important for us to really be convicted by and to live out of, that he is truly present. There was a theologian in the 20th century, Karl Rahner, who kind of looking at the world and looking at, there can be all the distractions of the world, the persecutions of the world, the currents of doubt and unbelief and all the other kind of false gospels that are out there, knew that Christians would be especially challenged in these times and so important to be close to the Lord. So he once famously said that the Christian of the future will be a mystic or will not exist at all. And what does he mean by being that mystic? It's that knowing and being aware of God's presence, of how close Jesus is, not some like Eastern mysticism or things like that, but no, the mystery of Christ with us, Emmanuel, God with us, and that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he wants us to be in relationship with him, and we can indeed encounter the Lord and know him just in so beautifully how he so perfectly knows us. You know, and that having this relationship with the Lord is then also being open to his initiative, to his freedom, to his guiding, and the mystery and the adventure of that. In Spanish, there's two words that both get translated as to know, in typically in English, conocer and saber. And these two words point to very different realities of knowing. You know, we can talk about knowing some kind of information, you know, like, okay, I know how to get to Golden, you know, and that's saber, this kind of factual knowledge of something. But there's also like how I know someone, and that is distinguished in Spanish with conocer, you know, this personal knowledge, this relational knowledge of someone. The Adoration Chapel and going to adore the Lord there is all about that deep relational knowledge. Because being Christian isn't just because, okay, I believe, I agree with these doctrines, I follow these moral precepts, I do these things. But no, it's because I'm in relationship with Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And adoration is a powerful moment to reinforce that. And our relationship with the Lord, in his closeness, in his presence, there are beautiful things he wants to do in our hearts. And when God is present to us in his activity, we call that grace. And grace can be working in our hearts in a very deep way. And thanks be to God for that. And maybe beyond what we're always even aware of, I think we might be amazed at all the ways that God assists us and sustains us and guides us. And I think, like in our scriptures today, an image for that of his grace at work within us is like that water, that stream, that maybe the roots go down to, the roots bring that water in, but maybe from the ground you don't even see it. That kind of grace is what the Lord wants to be working in our lives. And so we have a choice, though. Do we want that? Do we look for that? Are we open to that or not? And the readings present kind of the stark choice. They present the choice between someone who trusts in the Lord and someone who really fundamentally relies upon, prefers, and trusts in human beings. And so the image for the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord, is described like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes, because sometimes that comes. There is adversity in our life, but its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. That grace can still be working and producing holiness in all the things of Christ in our lives. But then there's the other side, the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, and indeed in that, whose heart turns away from the Lord. And that's a different kind of plant experience, described like a barren bush in the desert. that enjoys no change of season. It's just that oppressive heat and dryness, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. That reliance simply upon self and others isn't enough. And as our psalm today says, they are like chaff which the wind drives away. And so adoration is this visible, intentional, beautiful moment for us to stretch out the roots of our souls to that stream of grace, always coming to us from our risen Lord, and especially in that privileged time before Him in the Blessed Sacrament. It's a beautiful roots being watered moment. You know, and we may not even experience all kinds of fireworks or things like that, and most often not, but there's a deep working of grace in the midst of that. And doing that in adoration for a particular time, I think really helps train us to always have that stance in life, roots stretching to the Lord, and confidence in that stream of that living water, that grace, that Holy Spirit blessing He wants to give us. We may need training in that, in adoration, and even what to do in adoration. There's great freedom in that, but it is so worthwhile to do. Otherwise, is it the fact that we simply put our trust in human beings, whether other ones or ourselves, and seek our strength in the flesh? And so, adoration, whatever. You know, I don't have time for that, or I don't see what you really get out of that. Well, our choices, I think, in the end reveal who do we trust? What do we trust in? And so I encourage you to make that choice to come to our Lord in adoration, the beautiful gift of this. And if you haven't visited our Adoration Chapel, well, why? Why haven't you been there? What's keeping you from there? There probably aren't many good reasons. And so I'm not trying to shame you, but I am trying to challenge you to the incredible gift of our risen Lord in the Eucharist just over yonder, you know, 100 paces that way, who is there 24/7 to meet us in the good, the bad, the ugly, to help be at work in our hearts and to attune us to how He's always with us, loving us. And I don't know why we wouldn't want that. And so I invite and encourage each of you to that gift of encounter that the Lord through His church provides in our Adoration Chapel. Adoration is not simply a blessing only for the one who goes to it, but also it's in a way it's meant to overflow, and indeed in a sense it's kind of a service of love that we even do for others. And I think of two ways. The first is to think about going to the Adoration Chapel is like making a mini pilgrimage to the King. To go there and to go to the King and to fall at His feet and to pray for others, to present their needs, to present their hungers and their weeping and their poverty and their struggles. And maybe they've got nobody praying for them in their lives, and we have the privilege to go right to the King and share those needs to Him, to be those intercessors. And yes, we're first there to encounter Him, but then we can bring those needs of the world and neighbor to the Lord in such a privileged way. And then a second way that adoration is also a service is that it is important to keep vigil with the Lord as He invites His disciples to do that. And the only way our Adoration Chapel is open is if there are people there always with the Lord, 24/7, all those different hours of the day and week. And I'm so thankful for the many people who make that possible for us to have an Adoration Chapel that many parishes simply cannot have, don't have. And so I encourage you to come and be a part of that so that our Adoration Chapel can be there 24/7 and prayer to God can be happening that way and adoring the Lord is happening. And it's such a beautiful gift to our parish. And I encourage it to come forward, to be counted, and be a part of making that available always. So again, I offer to you a thanks for those involved and an invitation to those who are not. And the way you can get more involved is after Mass, we'll have people with cards about it, as well as an information table to hear more about, what do I do during that hour? And the relief of what great freedom and possibility there is in that time with the Lord. And so please, check that out. Our Lord is waiting for us there, and he loves us so much, and it's such a beautiful chance for us to have the roots of our soul really reach out to those life-giving waters.